I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched the Disney Silly Symphony short, Who Killed Cock Robin? This is a short that's basically like a spoof on courtroom dramas, with a whole lot of caricatures of different well-known actors of the time that I'll list more thoroughly later. And is basically about Cock Robin is like singing,
serenading
Jenny Wren when he gets struck with an arrow and falls way down and lies still, and then a whole bunch of people are like three different guys are like arrested as possible culprits, and there's a whole trial trying to determine the character of these guys and if any of them are the killer, along with a jury that's kind of like a chorus that will constantly sing along with different things. And it's a dark comedy, which isn't really a thing that we see a lot of from Disney. It's definitely very morbid for a lot of it, even if ultimately the Cock Robin isn't actually dead and no one actually dies. There sure is a lot of threat of death throughout this. So yeah, it's fascinating in that way. What did y'all think of it?
I'm not sure. Jury's still out. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I think. One of the characters, Mae West, was really obvious, but the other ones weren't.
I think there's another one of them that is really obvious if you know the characters from back then. But yeah, most of them I think are maybe less obvious.
So I think that's where a lot of the charm is lost. I was baffled, but hearing that there were more caricatures than I realized, that it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That is probably a lot of the selling point for this short that loses as time goes on. So, yeah, it was, it got a couple of laughs, I guess, but overall, I don't think I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I'm conflicted on it. I think it's interesting. I think there's stuff in it that just clearly doesn't hold up. But I do, I've had to watch a lot of shorts from both Disney and Warner Brothers and other studios that has celebrity caricature in it. And this is one of the most interesting by a country mile, because a lot of them are really a lot more, how to say, navel-gazy for the celebrities in question, whereas this kind of feels like it's more using the archetypes the characters are known for to tell an original story. And also they're all birds instead of actual caricatures of humans like you'll see in a lot of cartoons. So it's certainly more interesting than your average cartoon full of caricatures of cameos from the celebrities of the time. That said, it's not like my favorite thing. I think it's very unlike a lot of what Disney's putting out either before or after or around the time of this. Like, I think it just kind of has a tone to it that doesn't feel as Disney as a lot of other things. And I think it's pretty fascinating for that reason. So I think if you are, I would recommend that I would already at this early stage, before we really talk about it, say that I would recommend it to anyone curious about these cartoons. You know, like, this one's definitely unique. Let's get specific. So this short is, of course, based on the nursery rhyme Who Killed Cock Robin, and the short itself was nominated for the best short subject cartoons at the Oscars, but lost to Disney's own Three Orphan Kittens, which is a shame because Three Orphan Kittens is cutesy BS that I hate, and we're not going to watch it, whereas this one is actually interesting in any way. An extract from this cartoon was actually featured the following year in Alfred Hitchcock's Sabotage. The film's opening credits thank Disney for giving permission. And then, yeah, let's talk about those caricatures. So this short features many references and tributes in form of caricature to Hollywood celebrities of the time. The Blackbird is based on Stepan Fetchett, the Sparrow on Edward G. Robinson, and the Cuckoo on Harpo Marx, while Cock Robin and Jenny Wren are respectively based on Bing Crosby and Mae West. Dan Cupid is based on Joe Pinner. So most of the characters, in fact, are based. The only major ones that don't seem to be necessarily based on a particular celebrity is the owl and the parrot prosecutor. And I think the Bing Crosby one is a little hard. Like, it's sort of obvious in terms of his singing style, but then he's, like, in quotes, dead for most of the cartoon. So, like, you don't necessarily think about it as hard, and it's not as obvious as Mae West's. Like, Jenny Wren is just clearly Mae West in every way.
Yes.
And I think the other one that's pretty obvious is if you know Harpo Marx at all, of a relatively well-known comedian of the time, like, that cuckoo is very clearly supposed to be that guy. I know him just because Harpo Marx is in a lot of cartoons, whereas I don't really know Stepan Fetchett and Edward G. Robinson and stuff as well. I do know enough about Stepan Fetchett that I will be talking about that character in a different section. But yeah, let's get specific. What do you guys think about the story and characters and stuff of this one? And we can talk voice acting too. We can throw that in there if you guys have any notes on that.
Well, one is, I was worried for Cock Robin from the time it opened because of the
title. It was so funny because she saw, obviously, the title, and then it opened up, and within, like, 3 or 4 seconds of seeing Cock Robin just sitting there, she was like, oh, is he going to die? Like, yeah. It was so, we had to pause and laugh about it.
No, I went, funny. Oh no, he's gonna die.
No,
I
mean, you did not say that.
Oh, I didn't say that. Oh, I thought
he has to die. He's gonna have to die. It wasn't a question.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but it was still a lot more like, oh, is like this guy?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And he was so dapper and happy. And
yeah,
I
you're
just
like, he
looks
so nice.
Man. Oh, man. But no. And, you know, I think I would have really enjoyed, honestly, this short much more if, and which I'll talk more about it in How's It Hold Up, but if they hadn't hit so hard on the false accusations and the police brutality that just went on and on for most of it, it just got too much. I mean, they just kept pounding these guys on the head that they were accusing, and then they were going to hang them all, and it's just like,
it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, because I just mean, that's just like that. That kind of stuff happens, and that's not funny. So, you know, that was just really heavy handed. And I think that's what kind of, overshadowed it for me, because I mean, it being a dark comedy in and of itself would not have bothered me. That it was just too heavy handed with that. But yeah, and it's interesting, which I guess no spoilers because we don't have a spoiler cutoff, but you know, he ended up being shot with Cupid's arrow, and you know, because he was smitten with Jenny Wren that, you know, was like Mae West. So I mean, and it was cute, and I kind of liked, and I didn't. Also at the same time, the portrayal of like all, I like how the visuals were, but there was, once he was, Cock Robin was shot and fell down, then you had all of these policemen, in like a long contraption, like with a birdcage, and a lot of them trailing behind of a policeman, but in their hats. I like what they did with these tall, which is kind of the British or whatever, the portrayal of like the tall stereotypical hats, but they were blue that were just,
I mean,
kind
I
of
imagine
long.
It's more like what cops looked like in America. At
maybe,
the time.
Yeah. I mean, they were exaggerated tall, as I'm just saying, these tall top hats.
Sure.
And then there was also going in opposite direction, a ambulance. And those in themselves were kind of interesting. Oh, also, sorry, I kind of enjoyed as Cock Robin was falling down from where he was serenading Jenny Wren. There were all kinds of like birdhouse, like the town seemed to be vertical. You know, a lot of the town seemed to be vertical. So you had all these people looking out their windows as he was falling down going, ooh, you know,
yeah, yeah.
This is a problem. But yeah, so that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think it's hard to disconnect this from the type of shorts we're used to coming from Disney. So it does feel more heavy-handed because
We don't get it a lot. And maybe because they weren't used to it, that's kind of a symptom of that, of not being as, not necessarily nuanced, but, you know, more adept at making this sort of commentary.
I think especially later Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons are known for slapstick, but I think they're also known for a certain level of sharp comedy writing. And I don't know that I'd call any of the comedy in this sharp. It's pretty, it's a pretty blunt instrument being wielded. And whether or not you appreciate that will vary, certainly. But I think it's fairly inarguable that it's not a particularly sharp wit. It's going for a very kind of broad, dark comedy here of like, yeah, there's police brutality, the judge and the jury like don't actually care that much and are swayed by one hot lady saying to do something, and so they're like, yeah, kill all these people, who cares, like they seem guilty anyways. Like, it's very heavy-handed with it, and that can, I think, to a certain type of person that's more appealing, and to other types that's less appealing. And I think I'm a little more in the middle than you two are, which are, you two seem to much more be on the side of that's, that sort of comedy is less appealing to you.
It's hard to say if I would extrapolate that to that sort of comedy is less appealing, just focused on like what the short seemingly wanted to do. It didn't work for me.
Especially since there was so much repetition. I mean, literally once, like initially when Cock Robin was fell down and everyone thought he was dead and in the middle of town, and then all the townspeople were surrounding him, and then the ambulance unceremoniously put him on a cot and left, of course, the arrow in and just stuck his hat on top of the arrow. So they didn't even seem to check him out and make sure he was dead, but, you know, they decided he was dead.
Well, yeah, again, I think that's part of the...
Yeah.
I think that's part humor. Of this... I think it's a pretty cynical world that they are trying to set up here.
For sure.
Yes. Of like, oh, this guy's dead. All right, let's go. Like,
yes. And then when all the police came in and they went into the bar, I wasn't really quite sure of the connection there, because again, it's not like Cock Robin came from a bar, even like you see him in a bar and then you see him go up and serenade Jenny Wren or anything like that.
Again, I would argue that this is a large part of the sort of themes that it's going for, of like the cop saw that he was dead outside this place and didn't look further to be like, is this where he died? They're just died here. Let's go in and arrest the suspicious looking people in this establishment.
Okay.
We already know from the jump that he got shot up above and fell down here. Like, I think that's part of what it's going for, is that the cops aren't actually interested in even researching enough to find that basic info out, and it doesn't come up in the trial because no one cares,
right?
You know?
Yeah. And they were like surprised that Jenny Wren was there at all,
yeah,
because they didn't care to know who had seen him last before he died,
right
or anything like
and
that.
I mean, she didn't care either, because she came in there and she's like, yeah, all these guys look suspicious, kill them. And like,
somebody's got to pay for this.
Basically, like, she doesn't care. Like, none of those guys were outside of her house. Like, and she's just like, yeah, they're suspicious too. Kill them. Like, no one here is good, actually, except maybe Cock Robin and Cupid are fine. Like, you know, like, it's a very dark, cynical approach that Disney doesn't normally go for.
Yeah. And in fact, I think almost the vibe I got from Jenny Wren is that, you know, my boyfriend or whatever, my love interest has been killed. So
and I'm in pain. Pay, basically.
Yeah, I'm in pain. So someone's got to pay.
100%.
And someone needs to hang. Yeah. And then also, you know, so I'm glad actually I was talking it out, because I was thinking, why the heck did they go in the bar? But that makes complete sense now that you say that. Because, yeah, then when they ran in the bar, I wasn't expecting them to drag some people out. And then they, you know, they drag these three poor people out. But what bothered me was, from the minute they then start dragging these people out, there's two on a side of them, and they're just constantly beating them over the head with clubs, just nonstop as they're walking along with them. Anytime they take them in or out of, like, I don't know, the prison, the bar, throughout the court scene, they'll come up and stand behind him and just keep banging him over the head. And it's not like in some cartoons, you know, where you see the fake or you see the, part of their head, you know, where a bump rise or something. They didn't do that.
They just sort of jostled around, basically.
But they just kept hitting them, continued. And it was, again, there was nothing funny about it because, okay, once or twice, I wouldn't have thrilled me, but, you know, I could have lived with that. But it just kept going on and on. So
I, again, do have to say that you saying there's nothing funny about it, I do need you to understand as a matter of opinion rather than fact.
Yeah, no. God.
There, it's clear that it is supposed to be comedic, but I also don't, like, blame anyone who doesn't find it funny. Like, it's clearly going for something, and, I mean, it's done so long ago that it's hard to say if it was really supposed to be any sort of condemnation of cops or just like a jokey gag of these cops are so mean that they're just constantly or all these guys that are getting hit are dumb anyway. So it's funny to see them get hit. Like, it's hard to say exactly what angle they're coming from, but it is clear that that is an element of the comedy there. And like, some people will find it funny wherever they're coming from with it. Like, obviously, we're an opinion show. We give our opinions on things and how we think things hold up, and
that's important. We get facts here.
But I think sometimes it is important to note that, like, some of the things that we don't find funny, obviously other people do. Yeah, I don't know.
And they're wrong.
I feel like a lot of this is, honestly, we can discuss bigger in a different section. So let's focus a little more on animation. What'd you guys think of it?
So, I thought one of the, kind of going back to what we were just talking about with the officers beating the suspects on the head, they even, like, use that as a transition for, like, him beating on the head to the judge, slapping the gavel on his, whatever.
Desk?
Yeah.
Stool, whatever.
It's
like a log that he's just standing on, but
I wonder if they kept up with this kind of cynical bird world, that could have been something, like an opportunity to more hone in this sort of comedy and storytelling. Because you bringing up that the celebrities are influencing the design of the birds, but it's not obviously one-to-one.
Except for the cases where it clearly is, like Harpo Marx.
But also, like,
it, and Jenny Wren.
It disconnects from the people world. So there's a different angle that is filtered through. I liked they had different bird cages there for the prisoners. So there was like Sing Sing and, the bar that they were outside of was called something, the Crowbar.
Yeah, a lot of fun bird puns.
Yeah.
I really like the design, and I also feel like the color looked really pretty. I like the design of the major characters as well as the owl, and I enjoyed, like I said, the visuals with the police coming with the bird cage and the long stream. But I liked their design, like their little hats and stuff. And because I want to say they played with that, with kind of like moving those hats around a little bit, and then But here's, this is what I find funny. Okay, so Jenny Wren, her outfit looked so much more sexual and risque than like anything they've ever done with Betty Boop, because it was the way it was designed. Like, she had this fur, if you could imagine, it's a bird, you know, and so she's got, you know, so
she doesn't have fur.
Well, I know, right. Sorry. Oh, no, I was going to say her outfit had fur. The stole had fur. But what I was going to say is the bird itself, again, and just like Cock Robin, she looked to be the design. Well, I know she was supposed to be a wren. But so she had the very rounded tummy, and that lighter solid color that went underneath, you know, her stomach and, you know, her chest down to her little legs. But then they had the outfit that she had on that was fur lined, but it went up to kind of a point, and then underneath it draped down, but then so much of it was bare, so it was almost like she was naked. I don't know how to describe it. It was like, I was kind of like,
I think it's safe to say that Jenny Wren was both lovingly designed and lovingly animated.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
They knew exactly what they were doing, and they enjoyed doing
it. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was, I could not have ever imagined if you told me that a bird could look risque, but it did to me. I was like, okay. So funny. And then, of course, poor Cock Robin, who was, you know, we thought was dead for most of it. He had a very dapper outfit. So yeah. I liked how they drew his little design and his little clothes and outfit. I talked about the vertical town, just the different little buildings and houses and the shutters that they would open. And I enjoyed the designs.
What do you guys think about the sound design in here? It's definitely a lot of singing in this one. I think the singing and the musicality of it does a good job fitting with the tone that they're going for. The kind of more cynical and, I don't know. The it goes with the tone well.
Yeah, like the jury as a chorus.
Yeah.
And just reacting to what the other people are doing. Like, not having a will of their own to make the decisions.
But then it's like having a big group of people singing "We're Gonna Hang 'Em All" is like more horrifying.
Yeah, I know. I really liked the Al, the judge, the voice there. And that was really well
that's
done.
That's good old Billy Bletcher there.
Oh, is that?
Who does Pete.
Okay. Well, great voice.
Oh, yeah.
Booming. And then just out of curiosity, then were any of the actual like Mae West or anybody voicing their own parts?
No.
Okay. I didn't think
Jenny
so.
Jenny was Martha Wentworth, who did a great Mae West impression.
Yes.
But
yes.
none of the actual comedians being or actors being caricatured were there. No.
Got it. But yeah, so that voice actress did an excellent job, and I thought the voice work was very good.
I think
good.
Her singing was good, too. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? So I think the two main characters that we got to talk about in this section would be the Blackbird and Dan Cupid. So let's start with the Blackbird, who is based on Stepan Fetchit, who was a prominent Black actor of the time, who I am not the right person to determine what his legacy should be, but I will say that his legacy is complicated, and there's a lot of differing opinions on whether or not he fed into a lot of the stereotypes of the time with the sort of characters that he would play, or whether or not there was merit to any of what he was doing. That's not for me to decide. That is for the Black community to decide what his ultimate legacy should be, but it is complicated, is the gist that I'd get.
You take who he was based on, and then you look at how he was treated within the cartoon, and he was the one that was mostly getting beaten.
Yeah, he sure was the one getting beaten the most.
Yes. And one thing that I noticed was with the hands is most of the other birds had gloves, or I think a couple of the other suspects didn't, or maybe one
I
of the
other. I think the owl might not have either.
Yeah, but with the Blackbird's hands, he had the
feathers
palms of
on
his
top.
Hands. Yes, yeah. Were different color, a lighter color, which, you know, made it very obvious that this was supposed to be a character who is Black, or how is it portrayed in animation. Yeah, it was...
His voice actor is also at least a Black person, Nick Stewart. So it's not a white person, you know, performing him, at least, even if it is probably white people performing him in the sense of how he's animated.
Yes.
It is almost certainly only white people that are animating him.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't feel good. It was...
It didn't feel maybe as egregious as like actual blackface jokes that we've seen, but it also was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think it is safe to say that this is not the first or the last Stepan Fetchit caricature that we will see in cartoons. I mean, it might be the first one that you guys have seen. It's probably not the first one I've seen, and it certainly won't be the last. And I think it is also fair to say that most, if not all, of these cartoons are made by white people, and the way that they use Stepan Fetchit is very clear what they think is funny about him.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part. It's like, okay, you have the actor who is choosing his roles. I mean, maybe to an extent. Sure. I don't know what his economic state was.
Yeah, exactly. But
he is portraying them.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of the things that I saw about some reevaluations of some of his roles, like see him as often portraying kind of more of the trickster archetype, and that can be really interesting. And that is not what I am used to with the caricatures of him in cartoons, yes, is what I will say. He's much more like this, where he's the mopey guy who gets hit. So
yeah, like I think what you said, like he is, as a caricature in a cartoon, fully a creation of the animators and the storytellers and all of that. So any agency that he may have had as an actor is lost whenever it's translated to a cartoon and he is not a part of it.
Definitely. And then, of course, we have Dan Cupid, who is based on Joe Pinner. I probably should have, but didn't actually really research who Joe Pinner was. So I can't comment a whole lot on that. But I can comment on the fact that he's, what's the word that is good for podcasts?
Queer-coded?
Sure. He's very queer-coded. But like the particular gay limp-wristed archetype.
Yes.
And kind of, and lisping and stuff. He's that, which is, I think, the earliest cartoon that I've seen that has that very particular thing it's going for with the voice and stuff, I think, especially.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to assume is, you know, since it's supposed to be based on Joe Pinner, I will assume that that's part of what he's doing. And I have no idea whether or not Joe Pinner was gay or anything. I don't know. I didn't research that. But yes, he's definitely portrayed in a very notable way here that is a thing that Disney really doesn't touch very much, which makes it fascinating that it's here. There's definitely been a couple of other Disney cartoons I've seen. There was like a one with Mickey, Minnie, and Pete, where there was some sailors like singing, and one of them that it focused on was kind of did like a limp-wristed and like higher voiced singing, and then got hit over the head because of course he did. So like it's not the first time that Disney's ever done anything like this, but it is it's fascinating, like immediately seeing that. And I guess it's interesting because, you know, ostensibly I'm at least somewhat in the group that's being targeted there. It doesn't personally bother me that much, maybe because I've already been so inundated with that exact stereotype, but I can definitely see that how it could bother other people. Do you feel anything, babe, about that?
Yeah, I guess it was a bit uncomfortable, but I also am not familiar with
Joe Pinner.
Yes. So maybe connecting it to that, if I were familiar, I would see, oh, it's supposed to be that actor. And it might have a similar issue of, okay, you have the actor doing the role versus the animators filtering that without the actor's agency attached to it. So what are they saying there? What sort of roles do we see them put the character into? But I think it's not like it was something that ruined an overall great cartoon or
sure,
something.
Yeah.
It's just another questionable thing in this short that I don't have the background to appreciate what they were trying to do, and also the lens of time. It didn't do it any favors, I guess, is what I'll say.
The only other thing I'd like to say for this section is, again, which I mentioned earlier, I just feel like it was too heavy-handed with the police brutality. I don't feel like that holds up. I mean, that's just very... Yikes. I mean, it, you know, again, slapstick.
Especially just not really being able to know where they're coming from with the joke. It's like I can interpret it in a way that is critical of cops, but I can't ever be sure that that's what they intended unless I actually like saw interviews and they're talking about that. And frankly, I don't really expect that was the intent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
because I mean, again, you know, we've had,
I think they just thought it was funny.
Yeah. I mean, we have slapstick, we have Laurel and Hardy, we have that kind of thing. But again, it just went on.
Harpo Marx.
Yeah. And Harpo Marx. But it just went on and on and on. And every time you would see them, and it was not just hitting it once or twice, but like 3, 4, 5, 6 times. So yeah, just too heavy.
It was definitely over the top.
Yeah.
Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite moment in the cartoon?
Anytime that they were hitting the prisoners. But yeah, especially, I guess the chorus.
I'll go ahead and say probably most of the Blackbird's testimony, basically.
Yeah.
His whole caricature and being hit a whole bunch, just all that.
Yeah,
was the most uncomfortable part.
I think I agree.
Agreed.
What was your favorite moment in the short? I think I will say the cuckoos part where they keep knocking his head. He like points at the judge. He gets his hand knocked away, points at the prosecutor, like just some silly pointing stuff. And that was, it made me giggle. Like it's, that was a cute joke.
Mine is going to be the very beginning where, you know, again, had just seen the title and then, you know, they start kind of zooming in on Cock Robin, you know, serenading Jenny Wren. And then they have over starting on the left side of the screen, you see woods and you start seeing a shadow of someone with a bow and arrow and it's coming. And again, I'm just like, oh no. And then, you know, and you just see the shadows.
You like the setup. Enough,
yeah. Just, it was good. It was good. The pacing, setup, everything. I think it was well done.
I guess I'll agree with the Harpo Marx section.
Who was your least favorite character? I think I definitely have to hand it to the Step and Fetch It caricature.
Yeah.
Just uncomfortable.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say as a whole, I was going to just say all the police.
That's valid.
I didn't like it.
Who is your favorite character? I think I'll give it to Jenny Wren. She's enjoyable. I liked her singing and stuff too. She's got a presence.
Even though he wasn't on the screen a lot, the reason I'm not giving it to Jenny Wren is because then she just wanted someone to hang, and I don't like that. I'm just going to give it to Cock Robin because, hey, he was just a guy in love.
I don't know if he was my favorite character, but I thought that the prosecution being a parrot was really interesting.
They did some fun animation stuff with him, too.
Yeah, when he was, like, hopping up on the branches above as he was interrogating or questioning. I wonder if they chose a parrot as a bit more, like, showy as a prosecutor or something. I thought that was a cool choice, so.
Yeah.
I'll go with the prosecutor.
Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it.
I guess for casual viewing, I wouldn't recommend it. But as an artifact of Disney in terms of, like, something that you don't see a lot that comes out of Disney Studios, it could be an interesting watch. It does, unless you're familiar with those actors, I think suffer from time, and some of the caricatures might get lost on you. But you can go into it kind of knowing that. I don't think I'd watch it again. It doesn't, like, the animation and stuff isn't bad or anything like that. A 1.25 is my very arbitrary rating.
I like that you call it out as arbitrary.
Yeah.
I think I agree almost wholeheartedly in that I wouldn't recommend it just for regular viewing or light viewing, definitely. If you, again, want to see something different from Disney and, again, in perspective of what was going on and, you know, what they were making and something a little different. And I think I will also give it a 1.25 because of the animation I do think was strong. And there were some interesting things like, you know, again, Jenny Wren and some other portrayals.
Yeah, I think I'd recommend this only to, like, animation nerds. And most of you probably already seen it anyways. But yeah, I think if you're interested in animation in this era of Disney and just something fairly unique to what Disney was doing, this is pretty interesting. I like it more than you guys, despite its flaws. So I'll go ahead and give it a 2. But I don't really recommend it to, like, everyone. It's not for everyone. If you like dark comedy and animation and just want to see what this one's about, check it out. Thank you all very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Next time, we will be popping in with our friends over at Warner Brothers and see what they're doing with their Merry Melodies series still, because Merry Melodies is just slightly more interesting than Looney Tunes right now. Join us then.
Hey, bye.
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 This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=279-0566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening!